Before we pray, I read Psalm 39 and then the beginning of Psalm 40. Psalms 39 from verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because Thou didst it. Remove Thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of Thine hand. When Thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, Thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. For I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength, before I go hence, and be no more. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Up to here, God's word. Let us stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in this afternoon hour, asking for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. You have already spoken to us through your word and will continue to do so. Together we ask you, lift thy countenance upon us. Give us your peace. Take away all that disturbs you, O Lord. Feel at home in our midst. Forgive all guilt and sin. Purify and sanctify us in your presence. Let your word come forth with power. Open our understanding to it, O Lord, and let it be pleasing to you to speak with us today. We are here to hear and see you alone. Crown us with mercy and with loving kindness. To thee be thanksgiving and worship for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let us now read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this Gospel of the Kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. If we pay close attention to the wording, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom. Here we do not find, as is usual later in Paul's letters, the phrase, the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the designation, and this gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole world to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. If we want to look at this term a little closer, we will find that this proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God is not only about redemption, about forgiveness, about healing, but that in this proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God must strictly include everything that God is now doing in his kingdom. Nothing must be left out of what God is doing in his kingdom at this time. You all know, one can preach much of Jesus Christ and miss out on what God is doing in his kingdom. And that happens in every country, that happens all over the earth, that Jesus Christ is preached, but at the same time that the things that God is doing according to his promises around the prophetic word in his kingdom in this time are passed by. Here it literally says, and this gospel, not just a, but this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, will be preached in the whole earth to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. You all know, many evangelists have made this verse their own. They go and they preach, they preach their gospel that contains nothing of the things that are happening in the kingdom of God at this time. It is a man-made, a man-tailored, a man-adapted gospel that does not include what God has ordained for his kingdom in this time and what he has promised. The gospel of the kingdom of God must be preached as a witness to all peoples, all tongues, all nations, with everything that belongs to it. We can go with this thought directly to Matthew chapter 13, and here the Lord gives many parables of the kingdom of God. It says here from verse 43, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. Now verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. You all know, the Lord goes on in detail and describes these parables a little more. All parables visualize the kingdom of God and show us what is meant by it. And then he asks in verse 51, "Have ye understood all these things?" They say unto him, "Yes, Lord." Then said he unto them, "Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Following these parables that spoke of and detailed the kingdom of heaven, he asks his disciples, "Have ye understood all these things?" They said, "Yes." He asks us today, he asks you, and he asks me, do we understand the parables? Do we have the prophetic word? Have we understood the divine commission, the divine sending of his prophet in this time, with the revelation of the word of prophecy? Has God been able to open our eyes to what he is doing in his kingdom? Anyone can speak about the kingdom of God, and anyone can also preach a kind of gospel. But where is the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom of God that includes everything what God is doing in his kingdom, that informs and lets us have part in it? We will see in a moment, namely from Matthew chapter 3, that all the men who came on the scene in the New Testament, they had in their time a commission in the plan of salvation that was different from what had gone before. Matthew chapter 3, from verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Here, this writer reflects that this man not only preached, but that his preaching had a significance in the plan of salvation, that a prophetic word or several already existed for him in the Word of God. And it is clearly stated that this man is the one to whom the word of the prophet Isaiah refers. All those who had a part in the kingdom of God at that time and in what God was doing listened to this message. They believed, they accepted, they were baptized. They thus had entrance into the kingdom of God and at the same time into everything that God was doing or had done at that time. We know that John pointed people to Jesus and prepared them for him, not for himself, not to form or bring into being a new denomination, but a preparation work and message among the people of God, in the kingdom of God, so that the Lord could have his way and his glory could be revealed. So it is said here, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Here was the beginning of the kingdom of God, the beginning of the fulfillment of the plan of salvation. John could not preach what he wanted. He could not do what seemed good to him. He had the limits set by God and had to preach what was meant for that time, so that what God wanted to do in his kingdom could actually happen. In Matthew chapter 4, from verse 12, we read, now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We see here that the Lord Jesus, even concerning the change of residence, it is only seen as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy, because it was so. After all, it is literally written, this he did, that the word of the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. When we speak of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, we must include all who had a part in it. John did not just come on the scene because he or someone wanted him to. John came on the scene because the prophet Isaiah had announced by the Spirit of God in chapter 40, in verse 3, that it would happen. And it happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus came on the scene. He even moved his residence so that the word of the prophet Isaiah would be fulfilled. Then, if we read on here, it's in the same chapter. It says, from verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness, and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. This proclamation of the kingdom of God, which includes everything, and it also includes this part, that the possessed are delivered, that the lunatics are healed, that the lame are made well again, that where in the kingdom of God a way is prepared for the Lord, there his power must and will have to be revealed, not in other areas, but in his kingdom. In English, it is always called kingdom instead of empire. And we know that our Lord is the king in his empire. All things are subject to him. That's how our dear singers sang it. There is a king in this kingdom. And even at his crucifixion, or at the interrogation, he was asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered, "Yes, I am." He is the king of kings. He has a kingdom on earth. And in this kingdom, his will is done. Here, his word is put into practice. Bible prophecy finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. It is said of the Lord Jesus that he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Everything that was included in the kingdom of God for that time, he brought to the people of God in his proclamation. It continues here in one place, and that is in Matthew, in chapter 8. There it says, from verse 16, Matthew chapter 8, from verse 16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Even the healing ministry was fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, put into practice all the promises that referred to him in order to give the kingdom of God not only the proclamation, but the practical revelation and manifestation of the will of God. This is exactly how it is and how it must be in our time. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, the ministry of Brother Branham is no different from the ministry of John the Baptist or any other who was sent by God, that it might be fulfilled what is written, not that we may have our will, but that God's will may be done, as in heaven, so also on earth. And we know the promises that God has made in His Word for this time. If we may recall, in Acts chapter 3, in verse 21, it is said in reference to Jesus our Lord, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Jesus Christ waits in glory until all things are restored, until all things in the kingdom of God are ordered as they were proclaimed by the mouth of all the prophets from the beginning of time. The prophets foretold the plan of salvation. We may experience the plan of salvation in our time. We may become a part of what God has planned for His kingdom. And as I have often said, we are not spectators, but participants in what God is doing in this time. The gospel of the kingdom, the full gospel, which includes every promise, basically everything that God has promised in His Word for this time. A gospel that does not include the prophetic part is not the gospel of the kingdom of God. It may be a gospel of a denomination or of an evangelist, but we are concerned in this time with this gospel of the kingdom of God, not with a gospel of a church or of an evangelist, but with the gospel of the kingdom of God, which includes the prophetic part, the doctrinal part, and the evangelistic part. And I can tell you confidently, you can even find out that people on the one hand partly see the prophetic part in the plan of salvation in this or that area, for instance with Israel, and also partly place it. But let us have the courage to speak it out publicly. It is not enough for a great evangelist to make a big deal about Israel or about what is happening there. It is about the great thing that God is doing in this time. Not a great thing that a man does, but the great thing of God itself. And this thing has not been entrusted to an evangelist and his interpretation, but when God does something, He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. And it must simply be understood and also emphasized with all seriousness that in a prophetic age, a purely evangelistic or doctrinal proclamation simply does not have everything included in it. It has to include the prophetic part. And you will see in that certain day when the Lord will come again, some will be lacking. They may have seen this point and that point correctly, but that will not be enough to have a part in what God is doing in this time. The ministry of Brother Branham was done that the word might be fulfilled, which God spoke by the mouth of His prophets. So it was a ministry of significance in the plan of salvation It is just the same in this time as if we had passed by John the Baptist and brought up our own program. Every man who passes by what God is doing is building his own church, his own denomination, building his own empire. But every person who is sent by God will have to proclaim the biblical and the prophetic part of the plan of salvation as a fulfillment of the scriptures, so that what God has promised can happen in the kingdom of God. When the Lord says in His word, "Remember the law of Moses, which I gave him in Horeb, and all the doctrinal statutes for Israel. And behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." We have gone through this scripture from Malachi, the last verses of the last chapter, several times. After the ministry of John the Baptist, the world did not go up in flames. It was almost 2,000 years ago. But now, after this final ministry, the world will burst into flames. And it says in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, from verse 10, "The day of the Lord will come that will burn like an oven. But before that great and terrible day of the judgment of God comes, God, according to His word, that the scripture might be fulfilled, has sent His servant and prophet, whether people like it or not. I don't want to pass it by. It is part of the gospel of the kingdom of God, that all things are mentioned that are to take place in the kingdom of God. And especially when we see the time so advanced, who wants to stay behind? Who wants to ask for more time to decide? Doesn't time press for a quick and godly decision in our lives? Do we not notice how things are coming to pass one by one? We, as children of God, in this last generation, have the privilege and may make our decision. Your decision and mine has already been made. God has made the decision for you and for me, so that you and I can make our choice for Him. Through His omniscience, He has already chosen us in advance, that we will behold His glory. And when we look at all these things, John in his time, Jesus in his, then the New Testament church in its time, and we in this last phase of the last church age at Laodicea, we have the great privilege of crossing over into the prophetic part of the plan of salvation to see, hear, and experience with open eyes all that God has ordained for His kingdom. We are not people who only want to watch from the outside. We want to press into the kingdom of God. It is probably written in Luke 16:16, "The law and the prophets were until John. But from then on, the kingdom of God is preached, and all who are violent, they press in with power." It is not a simple slipping in. It is a forcing, a pressing in into the kingdom of God, into the things that God does in His kingdom. This simple proclamation of the gospel leaves out many things. if we want to have everything, we must press in with might. And just be honest now, if we put our hand on our heart without judging, how many of the great evangelists simply preach a gospel that is good for all people? They leave out the teaching about the Godhead, the teaching about baptism. They leave out everything, and especially the prophetic word, and preach a gospel under which people become intoxicated and they have a beatific feeling for a few hours. But the question is, are they saved? Has the gospel been able to bring them what they need at this time to be able to stand their ground when the Lord returns? We also see the other side, how everything is in religious delusion and intoxicated. We see how also, one doesn't want to say it, but efforts are being made to bring the Roman Church back into the memory of all the inhabitants of the earth. Everywhere, the greatest efforts are being made to reach the world's public, to attract the attention of the earth's population. At the very time when the Antichrist is rising up, Jesus Christ, our Lord, has sent a divine message for all who are in the kingdom of God. Not that we should pass it by, but that we should hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And our Lord has already said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In one service, it was probably the last one in Malawi, I told the brothers and sisters, "Tonight I must tell you from God the truth." And I did not hold anything back, whether it was the Godhead, baptism, Pope or devil, it doesn't matter. I basically proclaimed everything that had to be proclaimed. And I thought, now I don't know what's going to happen. But you know, after that service, just after that service, many people came to me and said, "Brother Frank, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. That was the truth, and only the truth can set you free." And that is what we need at this time. Not some kind of politics to be used here and there, but simply the biblical truths. Yes, the gospel of the kingdom of God, not of a creed, but of the kingdom of God, of what God promises for his kingdom, what he intends to do. And as already emphasized before, he does nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. We cannot pass it by. We want to be in the kingdom of God. We want to have part in what God is doing. And beloved, if even the move of our Lord's residence was a prophetic fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures, then let us realize how accurately the things of the kingdom of God have been foretold in the Holy Scriptures. When we are told he moved his residence to Capernaum so that the scripture might be fulfilled, the land of Naphtali and Zebulun, which was in darkness, has seen a great light. If even a thing we would consider earthly with the Lord and in the kingdom of God, there are no earthly things. There is no coincidence and there is no earthly judgment. In the kingdom of God, everything is ordained and guided by God, and it happens in due time. And we want to have a direct part in the thing that God is doing. For my part, I want to express that here before all of you and before God with all my heart. I don't want just a gospel preached. I want to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which includes the whole plan of salvation of our God, with all the promises, with everything that has been promised to us from God. The term full gospel is well known. If you leave anything out, it is no longer full. But if everything that God has promised is included, then we have a full gospel, a full salvation, and are brought to the full understanding of what God is doing in this time. In the kingdom of God, there is one King, and that is our Lord and Master. He shed His blood for His own on the cross of Calvary. And Peter writes it to the believers at all times. You are the chosen generation, a royal people, the holy priesthood of our God. God has made us kings and priests. We are to rule and reign with Him. The day and the hour is coming when He will start His reign. It won't take much longer. Things are happening blow by blow, one news after the other. And if we look into the Holy Scriptures, we can say with a clear conscience that all this is happening so that it might be fulfilled what God has spoken by the mouth of His holy servants and prophets, what He Himself has spoken and what He has spoken by the mouth of His apostles. We who have open eyes can judge this by grace and rejoice that the Lord has made us see. And I hope that we have no blinders and only see rigidly in any direction, but that we will be fully orientated in the kingdom of God, that we may see things prophetically, doctrinally, evangelistically, that we may include everything in the program of God. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations for a witness, and then the end will come. May God open our eyes, ears, and hearts for this, and give us a right understanding by grace. Our God has not left us nor forsaken us in this time. He has sent us light at evening time, a prophetic message that gives and spreads clarity and light from above in the deepest darkness. And that is why Paul could write to the Thessalonians in chapter 5, ye brethren are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. No, by the grace of God, we have seen the light by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have seen the word of prophecy that shines as a bright light in a dark place, and we want to walk in that light with the help of God. And you will see this gospel, which contains all things that must come to pass in the kingdom of God, will be preached to all nations for a witness. And this last journey has shown me that God is able to open doors that probably were closed, and suddenly a whole country, a whole nation hears the word of the Lord. They hear, they see, and they have the opportunity to make their decision. Not for my sake, but if it pleases God to now take a different course, to once again reach the world's public. And if God opens the door for this, then let us let Him work, and let us just be spectators and praise Him for it when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all peoples, tongues and nations just now before the close of the gate. And let me tell you, not only people who belong to Christian faith groups, I have been approached by Muslims, Hindus and Sikhs and whoever they are after this interview on television. And the man who was running the TV program, he took me through the first guard post and through the second guard post, and he grabbed me by my right arm and said, "When are you coming back? I'm deeply moved by what you said. Next time you come, we will give you much more time." God opens doors. God opens gates so that all peoples, all tongues, and all nations hear His word. Maybe He let me travel around the world to get to know the other religions a little bit better, to know how to approach them and in what way one can come close to them and bring them God's word. You cannot say you are wrong and you are going down to hell. That doesn't help anyone. You have to bring them the gospel of the kingdom of God and include the prophetic part. Then their eyes will be opened and a hunger will arise in their hearts for the divine things that have been promised to us in the Holy Scriptures. This word has become very great to me. I have said in my heart, "Lord, what is to become? What is it about?" And suddenly it said, "Read Matthew 24, verse 14. And as I read this verse, the Spirit of God began to work and speak. Now is the time to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God with all that pertains to it in all public places, to all peoples, tongues, and nations. And our God, who holds all the keys in His hand, He will open the doors. He will give blessings by grace. We will not be satisfied until we share in all that God does in His kingdom and see the last promise fulfilled. May it be said one day, this is happening in your midst, that it might be fulfilled what is written." We can also read in the New Testament, everywhere it is written, "Did not Christ have to suffer and then rise again?" and so forth. As it is written, it is about that the things happening in the kingdom of God that have been written down here, a gospel of the kingdom of God in which He is in charge as King, in which He can reveal Himself, in which He can work, in which He can speak, in which He can save and heal, in which He can reveal Himself in all His power and glory. In a song we sang, "Jesus Christ is always the same. And who can grasp this mystery? Today He still walks on our streets. How and where? When He can establish His kingdom and build His church, and when He can feel at home in it, then he will draw near and will reveal himself in all his beauty and glory. This gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with all that belongs to it, must and will be preached to all nations for a witness. And if out of millions only hundreds are called out, and if out of thousands only some are called out, then it is God's business. Our business will be to preach this gospel of the kingdom of God to all. The rest is left to God. He will see to it. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. One day we will say, this is happening so that it might be fulfilled what the Lord has said. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations for a witness. It must come to pass, and it will come to pass, because the Lord has said it. Rather the heavens fall than his word deceives me, as the song goes. We hold fast to this and give glory to our God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we ask you, in the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ, look upon us now in grace. Bless, O Lord, all who ask you and who are in need of your blessing. You know who needs salvation, who needs healing, who needs deliverance. You know us all, O God. Beloved Lord, we want to be in your kingdom. We want to hear the gospel of the kingdom. We want to see you fulfill all that is to happen in your kingdom. We want to be able to say, this is happening so that it might be fulfilled what is written. O God, your whole plan of salvation has been written in advance so that we may know what you intend to do. We thank you and worship you for it. Lord, you have seen all hands. You know all hearts. You know what each individual needs. O God, give it to him. Give it to him now, O God. Let it be known that we are in your presence, that you are here to bless, to save, to heal. Lord, let the hour come when we speak your word according to your will, and the things we speak come into manifestation. Lord, then we will be able to say, this happens, that it might be fulfilled what the Lord said in Mark 11. O God in heaven, faithful Savior, thou thyself hast said, I say unto you, that if ye shall say unto the mountain, rise and be cast into the sea, and doubt not, but believe that it shall come to pass, then it shall come to pass. O God, it will come to pass. The scripture will be fulfilled. Everything that thy holy mouth has spoken shall come to pass in thy kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise and glory to your wonderful and holy name. O O thou King, reveal thyself in thy kingdom, in your beauty and power and glory. Yes, do it in a way as never before, O Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We worship you, that it might be fulfilled what is written. Hallelujah. Savior, I pray also for the millions of people, for the thousands and hundreds who have heard your word in the past 3 weeks. My Lord, may they not be temporal hearers. You know your own. You know where they live and what their names are and who they are. Call them from the four corners of the earth, from all peoples, tongues, and nations. For thus it is written, I saw a number that no one could count, from all peoples, tongues, and nations, washed in the blood of the Lamb, with palm trees in their hands, before the throne. O Lord and Savior, give us in this generation, at the close of the time of grace, the view for the whole gospel, for your gospel, for the gospel of the kingdom of God. Worship and glory be to you. Let it be preached in your power to all nations, that you may call out the last ones. To you, O God, we give praise and glory and worship with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.